السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini and we are doing the names related to the Quranic class for the weekend at Islamic School. We're doing the names of Allah. And today is the fourth part, is the fourth lecture regarding the names that have to do with providing us with our sustenance, provisions, which is Ar-Razzaq, Ar-Raziq, Al-Mu'ti. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Razzaq, Ar-Raziq, Al-Mu'ti. And the first time we talked about this subject, we talked about the rizq, the needs, our needs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to us. And then in the second part, we talked about the distribution, how is the distribution or is different from one person to another. And in the third lecture, which was last time, we talked about that how could it be that the test of being rich, the test of being rich is easier than the test of being poor. I'm sorry, is harder than the test of being poor. So it's easy, the test of being poor is easy. The test of being rich is hard because you have to resist the corruption that comes in with money. And where did you bring the money from? Where did you spend it at? Where did you earn it from? Where did you, how did you use it? And all of these questions that need to be addressed during an audit in the Day of Judgment, when you are audited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the time of accountability. Okay. And we just have few things to touch on. From last time. Yes. We were talking about how it is easy. And we basically wanted to touch, like, wrap up the subject. So mustaghni means somebody who feels self-sufficient. Self-sufficient means I don't need Allah. I have everything I need. I have the money. I have the food. I have the water. I have the house. I have the power. I have everything. I don't need Allah. So that is something that makes the test of being rich harder. Another thing is that what happened with Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Before we say that, the choices for the poor people are limited. They don't have choices. They don't have as many choices and varieties are available for the rich people. The rich people can do a lot more things than the poor people can't. So let's use an example of what happened to Prophet Sulaiman, and he's a prophet, not a normal man. He's a prophet. And basically, he had very good, well-branded horses, and awesome horses. And he was enjoying them, okay? And he was enjoying them, and the time for the prayer come, and he missed the prayer because he was enjoying them. He got so mad and so angry at himself. And he decided to punish himself by killing all these horses, to deprive himself from such a pleasure, that because this pleasure took him away from the, distracted him from the prayer. So rich people have a lot of distractions. Poor people don't have as many distractions. I'll just say an example. If we say the rich person has internet access, the poor person doesn't have even a computer to start with. Then the choices for the rich people, believe they do games, go search the web, WhatsApp, Facebook, you know, you have a lot of choices offered to you because you have a computer and you have a internet. The poor person doesn't have a computer, doesn't have an internet. So he automatically loses all these choices that you have available to you. They are not available for him. Okay. So his choices are limited. And sometimes it's boring for him. Sometimes life is boring. And then it's not a strong remembrance of Allah. The distraction coming because of these extra choices don't exist for the poor person. So it's easier for him because he's not distracted that often or that much. The Prophet Muhammad shows the poor lifestyle. He died and he owed money to the Jewish person, and in exchange of this loan, he gave him his armor to keep until he pays back his loan. And I did not know and did not figure out why did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the poor lifestyle, chose to be a poor prophet instead of a king prophet, like Prophet Sulaiman was a king prophet, Prophet Dawood is a king prophet. Prophet Muhammad, he chose to be a slave prophet, which is a poor prophet, in other words. And the reason is that is because he wanted, I didn't understand why. I don't know why did he make that choice, but I didn't understand why did he make this choice until I was speaking with a person who is a historian, studies history, and he's a non-Muslim. And I was surprised that he said Muhammad must be sincere. So I asked him why, how do you figure it out? And he's still not Muslim, but he thinks that Muhammad is sincere. So I said, why? He said, because he did not live the lavish, extravagant lifestyle, the lavish lifestyle, the royal lifestyle. He didn't. He was a king. He would be, if he wants to be a king, live a royal lifestyle, he can. And he can get a lot of money and he can get a royal lifestyle. But no, he didn't. He chose to give away all his money for charity and keep only the bare minimum that keeps him, that helps him survive, he and his wives. The wives of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, once they got tired, so they lobbied on him, they ganged on him, and they ganged up on him. And they said, we want more money. We want more money. Allowance. He wants you to increase the allowance for spending in home. They used to have weeks and weeks pass by without a decent meal. They just eat bread, little bread, and some dates and water. So they wanted more money so that they can eat more decent meals more often. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refused. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the choice. If you want to stay with my prophet, then you have to accept the poor lifestyle because it's not appropriate for him to have a lavish lifestyle. So basically, because he did not adopt the royal lifestyle, this guy, a friend of mine, said he must be sincere then. We spoke about the story of Thu'aylabah, where the prophet knew that money is going to corrupt him. But he kept nagging and asking the Prophet to pray to Allah to give him money. The Prophet Muhammad kept telling him, this is better for you, this is better for you. And because he kept nagging, the Prophet prayed for him. He got money, and the money corrupted him, and he stopped even paying zakah. And he sent back the person, the zakah collector person who comes to collect zakah. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send people to collect zakah from, goes to a certain area. Collect the calf from the rich and give it to the poor in the same area. So they don't take money out from the rich to the poor right away. So the Prophet sent him a person, zakat collector, and he said, no, go tell your companion that this is slavery, taxes of slavery. And Allah revealed verses in the Quran condemning him for what he did. And it was in Surah At-Tawbah. I don't have it here handy, so actually we can get it. Surah At-Tawbah, this is Surah number 9. Well, I don't remember the ayah. So I'm just showing you so that if you happen that you want to look for something, you go to the search website, this search engine website, and then you say, the word, the ayah that I'm looking for. Has the word ahada in it. So you look, search for the word ahada. going on. What? It's not letting me make a search. Anyway, you would look at the word ahada in Surah At-Tawbah, and it should be, well, I can ask Mr. Google. Yeah, here it is. Mr. Google, Ayah 75. So Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 75. Mr. Google, Sheikh Google is good. They have a very good Sheikh in Google. Gives us the Ayah. Search for the Ayah. Okay. So the, here is what happened to this guy.
And of them is he who made a covenant with Allah, saying, if he give us of his bounty, we will give alms and become of the righteous. Yet when he gave them of his bounty, they hoarded it and turned away averse.
So basically, he did not pay the zakah, and the punishment. Did it mention the punishment? So his punishment was that yes, the punishment is 77. So let's start from 75 to 77. So here's what happened to him.
And of them is he who made a covenant with Allah, saying, if he give us of his bounty, we will give alms and become of the righteous. Yet when he gave them of his bounty, they hoarded it and turned away averse. So he hath made the consequence to be hypocrisy in their hearts until the day when they shall meet him, because they broke their word to Allah that they promised him, and because they lied.
And if you want to hear the other. Amen.
And among them there are those who made a pledge with Allah, if he gives us wealth out of his grace, then surely we shall give alms and shall be among the righteous. But when he gave them wealth out of his grace, they became stingy about it, and went back turning their faces away. So Allah, in turn, put hypocrisy in their hearts till the day they shall meet him, because they broke their promise with Allah, and because they have been telling lies.
See, that's what happened to him. Okay. Also, the rich people are busy investing their money, busy thinking, investing. Poor people don't have much investments to do, basically. But the rich people, they have a distraction to increase their wealth. Also, the luxury people in luxury are enjoying their time, and they don't want to be bothered by prayers and like five times prayer. Oh my God, we have to leave every couple of hours and pray for a few minutes and then come back. They just don't want to be bothered with it. You just don't want to be bothered with the prayer. They don't want to be bothered by fasting. They are just enjoying their life. Life is good. Then the eighth point here is that there is a formula for a disaster, which is called youth plus rich plus have lots of spare time. Lots of vacant time, lots of time that's available for you. That's a formula of a disaster because it corrupts the human being really bad. You're young, you have money, and you have the time, then you have the free time, then you start thinking about ways of achieving pleasures. And I know about actors who were like the Home Alone actor, I forgot what is his name, Macaulay Culkin or something like that. And he did drugs because he had the young, he was a young age, he had the money, he had the free time, so he did drugs. Thinking always, the rich people always try to come up with ideas to enjoy, enjoyment. And there is that much that the life has of enjoyment, the life has to can offer. This life can offer you that much of enjoyment, not open. So they get bored quickly. They have tried every enjoyment thing they can, it's available to them, because not all ways of enjoyment are available to them for other reasons other than wealth. They were thinking about more way of entertainment, more entertainment. And when you think about more entertainment, you might get into haram entertainment. And instead of sticking with halal entertainment, there is a haram entertainment and there is halal entertainment. One that complies with the laws of halal and haram, this is halal entertainment. The one that doesn't, it's a haram entertainment. Then you cross the line because you're done with halal entertainment, you've tried all of them, you want to step into the haram entertainment so that you think they will make you happy. The 10th point is that the required thinking. The rich people are required to thank Allah way, way, way more than the poor people. For example, the zakah. The rich people have, the poor people don't have to pay zakah, but let's say not the poor people, let's say a middle class person. Middle class person, zakah will be, here in the United States, middle class person, zakah will be what, $3,000, $4,000, that's about it. The rich people here, zakah is like, especially the ones who have like 401k accounts with a lot of money in them. The zakah could easily reach to $100,000 a year, zakah. Now, people are, you know, they get, you know, even rich people, they just paying $100,000 a year zakah, it's not something easy on them. There was that story, a guy came to the sheikh and he said, "Yeah, sheikh, I have $100,000. How much zakah do I need to pay?" So the sheikh said 2.5%, which means $2,500. So the guy said, "What? $2,500 is too much." But it wasn't that much. Now the other guy came and he said, "I have $1,000,000. How much zakah do I need to pay?" He said, $25,000. He said, "What? $25,000? Are you crazy? This is too much money." "No, I'm not." He thinks that the $100 he donates here and the $200 he donates there and the $500 that donates there are enough. No, you need to keep track and you need to add up to 2.5% of the money that you have. Okay, so 2.5%, especially the 401k plans. Oh my God, people don't pay zakat on their 401k plans. Okay, also Allah, the Prophet said, $1 is valued and appreciated by Allah more than $100, more than $100,000. This was a sabaqa dirham. So he said one, I'm using the American currency, one dirham, which is $1, okay, is more appreciated by Allah than 100,000 dirhams, let's say $100,000. So the companion said, "Why, Prophet Muhammad?" He said, "Because the one that has $2, he donated one. So that's half of his wealth. And the one who had hundreds of thousands of dollars, he just grabbed some little bit of his money And that little bit of his money came out to be $100,000, and he donated them. So Allah appreciated the dollar more than the $100,000, because those are 50%. The other one was like 1% or 2% of his wealth, the $100,000. So it goes relative. So it's Allah holds the rich people more accountable to a higher standard than the poor people. Okay, what is expected for Allah does not expect from the rich what he expects from the poor. He expects the rich to give more. Allah doesn't expect from the weak what he expects from the strong. He holds the strong accountable to higher standard. Okay, Allah doesn't expect to hold accountable the poor person to the same standard of the rich of the powerful the weak person to the powerful person. Allah holds the powerful person to a higher standard. So the standard of judgment goes high if you're rich. It goes high if you're powerful. It goes high if you're healthy. It goes high if whatever blessing you have, the expectation that you are held accountable to goes up. So Allah doesn't hold the poor, the weak person, the sick person, the ill person. If somebody has a disease, Allah is not holding him accountable to a same standard that the healthy person is held accountable to. So the favor comes, one hand, Allah gives you the favor, with another hand comes the accountability. That your standard that you're held accountable to goes high. Why? Because you have this favor. So when you don't have many favors, the standard you're held accountable to are not that high. To the level that two of the pillars of Islam are taken out from the poor, which is paying zakah and going for hajj. Because they are not held accountable to five pillars of Islam. They are held accountable to three pillars of Islam only. Okay. So it shows you that the blessing you have, it's not something that you enjoy and that's it. It's a blessing. And then you're held accountable to a higher standard. Allah does not hold accountable the young person to the same standards as the old person. The young person is held accountable to a higher standard. And that's why the young life, we will be judged by Allah for our young life. How did we spend our young life? So our young life we will be audited. What did we do in this young life? Two times. One, because it's young. Two, because it's life. So when we're not young, the middle age and the old age part of your life, you judge it on only once. How did you spend it? But the young part of your life, you judge it on twice. Because how did you spend it? And how did you... And how did you spend your life? And how did you do because you're young? So young life is different than life. Young life gets double the accountability of the life, old middle age life. So yes, happy. You have that's why Allah at the Surah Al-Baqarah, he said, Allah does not obligate anybody more than what this body can take. Allah does not burden the soul with more than what this soul can take. Here, 286.
Allah does not obligate anyone beyond his capacity. For him is what he has earned, and on him what he has incurred.
So Allah doesn't judge you for anything beyond your capacity. Which means that Allah will judge you for everything in your capacity. Listen to this.
Allah dasketh not a soul beyond its scope, for it is only that which it hath earned, and against it only that which it hath deserved.
So, Allah does not obligate anybody, burden any soul more than what it can take. So Allah will not ask you to do things that above your capacity, above your ability. But at the same time, Allah is asking you to do things within your ability. So higher than your ability, Allah is not going to question you. So the poor person is not going to be questioned about his wealth because, he's not going to be questioned about zakah because he didn't have the money. How can he pay zakah when he doesn't have the money? That's beyond his ability. Or when he has little money, that's beyond his ability. So, but for the rich person, it is within his ability to pay zakah. A big portion of a good amount of zakah money can come out of this. So that you are not obligated. Allah does not burden you things over your abilities, but Allah is obligating you to do things within your ability. So whatever you can do, you're obligated, you're held accountable to. Being a United States citizen, a citizen who lives in the United States, we have some freedom than people in the third world countries. We can have lobby, we can improve the condition of the people, we can do a lot of things more because of the freedom, the ceiling of freedom is high. So you have a margin of freedom that you can work and oppose bad policies and bad practices and things like that. In Egypt, they don't have that ceiling of freedom because of the dictatorship and because of the dictator that's the ruling Egypt with tyranny. It's the tyrant of Egypt, the tyrant who's ruling Egypt is not letting people breathe. So the ceiling of freedom is very low. There is not much freedom that you have to push for a righteous life. Okay? There is not much freedom. But here we have freedom to fight what's wrong. We have freedom to oppose what's wrong. We have freedom to lobby. We have freedom to put our hands together and get something good happening to the society and to the community and to everybody. Yes, it's good to have this freedom, but at the same time, you will be asked and questions about this freedom. How did you use it? Allah is not going to hold accountable a person in the third world where there is no freedom. The same way he holds accountable the person in the first world where there's a lot of freedom available, a lot more freedom. I mean, every freedom has a ceiling. In the West, the ceiling is high. There is a ceiling, yeah, but it's higher. Okay? So, yes, we feel happy by having the blessings, but on the other side, Allah gives you the blessing with one hand and the accountability with the other hand. He gives you, yes, but he's holding you account to a higher standard. Now you have it. Now show me, how are you going to use it? So that's why it's easier if you're poor, oppressed. If you're poor, oppressed, you have a lot of responsibilities taking out of your shoulder. Poor, you will not be questioned about zakah or charity. Oppressed, you will not be questioned about your power and your abilities, things that are within your circle of influence. What did you do to these things that within your reach, within your circle of influence? Did you use them or did you not use them? So yes, money is good, but accountability comes with money. Yes, responsibilities are good, but with responsibilities comes, yes, power is good, but with power comes responsibilities. They go hand to hand, and that's how it is fair. The ones who don't have it might end up better than the ones who have it, because the ones who didn't have it, they didn't get a test to start with. There was no test. They are basically the tests of submission. Allah's testing you, tests of submission. So it's better not to have the test than to have the test and get an F grade. Of course, the best is to get the test and do an A grade. That's perfect. But that's not easy. Okay. So if you're not tested, that's to me, it's, if I'm not tested, I feel better than being tested. Because when you're tested, you are, you might fall short, you might make a mistake, you might ignore the responsibilities that you have to do. So basically, with blessings come responsibilities. Allah's holding you accountable to a higher responsibility. Okay. So Allah is a Razzaq, yes. Allah's the provider, yes. Allah provides, yes. Allah's provisions are good, but they come with responsibilities. They come with higher standards that you're held accountable to. So that is what the Thu'aylabah person who was pushing the Prophet to pray for him. He wasn't being tested by money. And the Prophet told him, this is better for you. The level of thinking that required from you now is way less than the level of thinking that is required for you when you have the money. It's not only zakah, but also being able, by having more money, you have more power. And you're held accountable to this extra power that you have, in addition to the extra money that you have. Okay? And that's why Allah gives the share of provisions of the poor people to the rich. Allah doesn't give it to the poor people directly, because Allah wanted to test the rich if they are going to pay the poor or not, pay zakat or not. So for every hungry poor person, there is a fat rich person who doesn't pay zakat. Okay? So that always, that's always the case. So yes, you're rich. Yes, good. But the standards you're held accountable to are going to be higher and higher. This doesn't mean that you feel sad when Allah is blessing you. Feel happy and thank Allah from the bottom of your heart. But keep in your mind that now you're held accountable to a higher responsibility. The person who has free time is not like the person who's busy doing things, going to get having. The person who has a free time is held accountable. Is held accountable and held responsible to the extra free time. What did he do with this free time? And life is, if we think of time, time is life and life is time. Your existence, you are nothing but a piece of time. We are nothing but a piece of time that starts from birth, ends at death. You are this piece of time. Every day goes by, one piece of your existence is taken away, is consumed. You consume one piece of your existence every day. And then at the very end, they have no more, left. And this is where you have no more that you can consume. And this is when at the end, the death comes. If you think about it, it's you can think of another metaphor. The metaphor is that like your life is like a big piece of ice, big, big piece of ice. And every day it melts. Every day it melts, it melts, it melts, it melts, it melts, it melts, it melts. And then at the very end, it disappears. That's it. So when some people, you can see that some people are taking days and days of their lives and throwing it from the window, wasting time, throwing time from the window, taking days and days, throwing days in the window. Okay. And that is not good, because with free time comes the responsibilities. Why? Because Allah does not burden the soul anything beyond its ability, which means that Allah is obligating the soul to do everything within its ability. So you're not obligated to do things beyond, but you are obligated to do things within your ability. Within your ability. If you're smart. And actually the Prophet used a nice expression. He said, zakah. He said, if your knowledge, your zakah of knowledge is to teach or to use your knowledge the right way. If you have money, your zakah is to pay a charity. If you have power, your zakah is to use your power the right way. So you pay zakah for every favor that Allah has given you. If you're smart, you pay zakah by making your intelligence beneficial to others. If you're powerful, you pay a charity, or you pay zakah on your power by making your power available to the weak. Available to the weak who don't have power and they want to get their rights. So you make your power available to them so that they can benefit from your power. And so for everything that Allah has given us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to use it the right way. Okay? So that's how it's obvious and it's common sense that the test of being rich is far more difficult than the test of being right, than the test of being poor. Far more difficult and requires a lot of self-discipline and requires, and there's a risky road that you have a lot to be, you'll be audited. The Prophet ﷺ said, the ones who will be audited in the day of judgment is doomed. The ones who are going to be saved are the ones who are going to get a sort of a summary judgment, like an overall judgment. Allah will accept their deeds without going into details, without auditing them. Allah just accepts all their deeds and sends them to Jannah. And the balance of good deeds versus bad deeds, they have the good deeds, the balance that goes, good deeds, bad deeds. Allah puts all your good deeds on one side, bad deeds on the other side, and see which one prevails. So as an overall judgment, Allah, the lucky people or the blessed people or the lucky people are the ones who are going to get an overall summary judgment. As an overall book of deeds, you're acceptable and Allah will send you to Jannah. Now, the ones who don't get that, okay, there are categories. There are ones who don't get judgment at all. They are taken to Jannah right away. He says, without any judgment, without any accountability, nothing, just straight to Jannah. That's the A plus or the A. That's the elite group. As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. If you memorize Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah calls them as-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. The elite of the elite. Okay? These are the prophets, the martyrs, the siddiqeen, and all of these, the righteous people, get into that category. The second category is the one that gets an overall judgment, overall, summary judgment, and then dismissed to Jannah. That is the, like the elite group, not the elites, not the super elite, but the elite. And the third group that Allah is going to audit them day by day. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if the ones who are going to be audited by Allah are doomed, day by day, prayer by prayer, Ramadan by Ramadan, dollar by dollar, audited. Where did you get it from? How did you spend it? Day by day. How come you did this? How come you did that? How come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? And those are doomed, the ones who will be audited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Detailed auditing, if you recall it. And there are people who stay on the mountain called Mountain Ful-A'raf, which is, if we say, this side here is Jannah, and this side here is hell. So my right side here is Jannah, my left side here is hell. Between them, there are mountains called the Mountains of Al-A'raf. Separates the Jannah from the hell. On the top of these mountains, people, a category of people, are called the people of Al-A'raf. They stay there. And this category of people, they wait, the mistake that they did is that they scored 50%. So they are equal. Goods and bad deeds are equal. So the scale is not this way or that way. The scale is even. Their punishment is that they stay on this mountain until the day of judgment ends, and then Allah will dismiss them to Jannah. But at the end of the day of judgment, and Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, which is the surah that is, Al-A'raf is this mountain between hell and heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing their condition, how they are being able to see people in hell and to see people in heaven, and to talk to people in hell and talk to people in heaven. Here, 46.
Between them is a veil, and on the heights are men who know them all by their marks. And they call unto the dwellers of the garden, peace be unto you. They entered not, although they hope to enter.
So they are staying on the mountain called Al-A'raf, which is the name of the surah. Here, Al-A'raf. This is the mountain that they stay on. And they are staying there, and they look at the people of Jannah. And they are drooling. They seeing them, Jannah. You can imagine you see Jannah, but you're waiting there. They are drooling. They are, you know, they are wanna go there.
Between them is a veil, and on the heights are men who know them all by their mind.
Between the two groups there will be a barrier, and on Araf, the heights, there shall be people who will recognize each group through their signs, and they will call out to the people of Paradise, peace on you. They will not have entered it, yet they will hope to, when their eyes will be turned to.
That's when they are look at the people of heaven, they drool. Oh, ya Allah, we want to go there. Now, when they look at the people of hell, because there is the mountain, they can see those and they can see those. When they look at the people of hell, look.
The people of the fire, they will say, our Lord, do not join us with the unjust people.
وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ.
So when there is time, when it is, when they look at the fire, people on fire, they get scared. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, please don't get us, don't make us among those people. So they will stay in this condition until the end of the day of judgment, which is 50,000 years. So just imagine how long you would be staying on this mountain, and how would your daily hours go by, and how days will go by, and how time is going to be passed. It's a pain. And then the people of the Araf sitting on the top of the this mountain, they are going to give the bad guys hard time. They will look at them and talk, give them a strong talk.
The people of Araf will call out to the people of fire, whom they will recognize through their signs. Your masses were not of any help to you, nor was the arrogance you used to show. Is it these people of Paradise?
Now, they look in Paradise, they see the poor people. The people that the rich people used to despise. And, you know, look at him. Very low class, poor, unclean, torn clothes, dirty house. I mean, cheap stuff. You know, they used to call to say this about them, but those believers that the bad guys, the Arab lords, used to despise because they are poor and weak. And now they are in Jannah and the Arab lords are in hell. So the people of Al-A'raf are witnessing. So they call on the people of hell and say, those are the guys that you didn't like. Those are the guys that you despised. Look at them and look at you.
Out whom you swore that Allah would not allow his mercy to reap. The people of Aref will call out to the people of Fire, whom they will recognize through their signs, "Your masses were not of any help to you, nor was the arrogance you used to show."
Yes, neither the arrogance you used to show. And then we'll tell them,
"The people of the Fire will call out to the people of Paradise, 'Pour on us some water, or some of what Allah has provided you.' They will say, 'Allah has prohibited these four disbelievers who had taken their faith as play and a game, and the worldly life had deceived them. So, we shall forget them today, as they had forgotten to face this day of theirs, and as they used to deny our signs. Surely we have brought them a book that we have elaborated with—"
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we will end inshallah. So from 46 to 51.
Between them is a veil, and on the heights are men who know them all by their marks. And they call unto the dwellers of the garden, 'Peace be unto you.' They enter it not, although they hope to enter. And when their eyes are turned toward the dwellers of the fire, they say, 'Our Lord, place us not with the wrongdoing.'" And the dwellers on the heights call unto men whom they know by their marks, saying, "What did your multitude and that in which ye took your pride avail you? Are these they of whom ye saw that Allah would not show them mercy? Unto them it hath been said, 'Enter the garden, no fear shall come upon you, nor is it ye who will grieve.' And the dwellers of the fire cry out unto the dwellers of the garden, 'Pour on us some water or some of that wherewith Allah hath provided you.' They say, 'Lo, Allah hath forbidden both to disbelievers in His guidance, who took their religion for a sport and pastime, and whom the life of the world beguiled. So this day we have forgotten them even as they forgot the meeting of this day, and as they used to deny our tokens. Verily, we have brought them a scripture which we expound with knowledge, a guidance and a mercy for a people who believe. Await they aught save the fulfillment thereof? On the day when the fulfillment thereof cometh, those who were before forgetful thereof will say, 'The messengers of our Lord did bring the truth.' Have we any intercessors that they may intercede for us? Or can we be returned to life on earth that we may act otherwise than we used to act? They have lost their souls, and that which they devised hath failed."
So you can see, it's a serious, it's very, very serious stuff. You know, it's not something that you can afford to ignore or to neglect or not to be aware of.